Glad that I can be here. Hopefully we're all glad to be here this morning. We miss those that are away, and we need to be praying for those that are sick. But we should not stop rejoicing in our being here and us being able to be here. Certainly, that is what we have been asked to do and commanded to do, to come together on the first day of the week and remember our Savior and to worship God. And we should do it with joyful hearts. And that is what much of our singing was revolved around this morning, was about songs of joy, songs that make us happy, songs of home, and that would lead us to being glad and to thinking on heavenly things and spiritual things. We often might think of the different commands that God has given us as we live our Christian lives. We think, well, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? What is God's will for me? And it might vary from person to person based upon maybe what some of your weaknesses are. For a person that has difficulty controlling his temper, he might think, well, God's will for me is that I control my temper and that I work on that. And another person that might have some issues with materialism, think, well, that's God's will for me is that I be more spiritually minded, not carnally minded. And we could go on and on about a different person based on his own needs and his own personality. He might think, well, what God's will for me is based upon what some of my weaknesses are. Some people might say, well, God's will for me is that I come to worship on the first day of the week and worship God, and that I worship in a scriptural manner. And so we might go on and on to thinking, well, what God's will is. But what is God's will for you? Have you ever really considered it? Of what is God's will, what God's will is for you? Well, it's the same for everyone for the most part. Of course, there are some people that are given more abilities and talents, and so God may expect more from them than he does from others. But overall, God has given us all the same commands, and he has the same will for us. Of course, if you are not saved this morning, the answer is rather obvious of what God's will is for you. He would want you to be saved. And the scriptures bear that out, that that is God's will for us, is that we all be saved. It's his heart's desire that we would all be saved. Paul expressed that his heart's desire and his will was that all of Israel would be saved, all of his Jewish brethren. And that's God's will for you this morning, if you are not saved, is that God wants you to be saved. But if you are saved, what is God's will for you in your life? And again, we could answer that question in many ways. Sometimes the scriptures are quite clear what God's will is in passages such as 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So it's pretty spelled out here what God's will is. Here, it gives these different commands that we are to carry out. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. King James says fornication more specifically. And so it's very clear and spelled out what is God's will for you here. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 15, we read what God's will is. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So we see here the will of God is to do good and to be subject to the higher powers, the presidents, governors, people in authority. And so we're to be subject to them. It's spelled out here, for this is the will of God. And so these passages are pretty clear what God's will is. But these passages don't exhaust what is God's will. We could go on and on about different things that are God's will. But in this particular sermon, we will focus our attention on what one of the verses that we've already read. What is clearly stated as the will of God for you, 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse 16, where we learn that God wants you to rejoice always. Have you ever really thought about that? 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. If you were to ask someone, what is the will of God for you? I think it would probably not be very common answer for someone to say, well, God wants me to rejoice always. Probably wouldn't be the first thing that you thought of. But we read here that that is the first thing listed in these few things that are listed here. It says, rejoice always. This is the will of God for you. And so God wants us to rejoice always, and that's what I want us to study this morning. God wants us to rejoice, to have joy in life, and rejoice in life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, in verse 9, we see that we are to rejoice in life. Beginning at the very early part of our life, it says here to rejoice in youth. In Ecclesiastes 11, and in verse 9, we see that we are to seek God in early life. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. And so we see here, even from very young, we are to rejoice in life. And as we talk about having joy and rejoicing, it's not talking about just partaking in every pleasure. It's talking about being faithful to God and rejoicing in the Lord, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But we see here that it is a command that we are to rejoice even from when we're young. A lot of times we see children that they can be perhaps unhappy with family circumstances. They could be unhappy because, well, they're spoiled and they're not getting what they want. But even from a very young age, we are to rejoice in youth, and our heart is to be cheerful. We are also to rejoice in our work. Seems like a difficult thing for a lot of us to comprehend. Something that's difficult to accept is that your work is something that you are to rejoice in. I think it's easier for some people than it is for others to rejoice in their line of work or in their career. Of course, there's a cliche about a man who finds what he's happy in doing, a job that he enjoys, that he actually never has to work a day in his life because he's happy in doing that. But it just isn't that way for everyone. But we are to rejoice in our work. Ecclesiastes 2:24, nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. And so we might not have the best job, but we should rejoice in the job that we have. Be thankful that we have a job, that there are a lot of people that don't have jobs. And so we should be thankful for that. And we see that because of God has given us this ability to work, that we're able to provide, and God is able to take care of us because of that. So we are to rejoice in our work. Sometimes we maybe don't have the best attitude about our job. And I could speak for myself that my job isn't perhaps the most fun job, but I am thankful to have it, and I do always try to look on the bright side of having that job and make an effort to not complain and murmur as much as possible regarding that. And that should be our attitude. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 12 through 13. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Verse 22. So I perceive that nothing is better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his heritage. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him? And so it's very clear here that we are to rejoice in our labor and realize that it's God that has given us that ability, and try to be happy in that. Ecclesiastes 5:18 through 20. Here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to rejoice his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. And I don't typically like to quote cliches, but one cliche is that there's nothing like a job well done. And that there is a good feeling that after you've worked hard and after the day is done, you can feel good about that, knowing that that you've done the will of God and you were given a task and you did it to the best of your ability. And that is a good feeling, and that needs to be our attitude. So rejoice in your work. If you're like me and you like to sleep about 8 hours a day, then that means that you've got another 16 hours of daylight. Well, about eight of that you're going to be spending at work. So half of your waking hours you're at your job. And so half of your waking hours you need to probably find a way to try to enjoy that, because if that you're spending about half of your life unhappy if you're not happy in your work. And so it's good that you try to rejoice in that and see that it's good that God has given you that job. Also, rejoice in life and wife. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, it tells us that we are to enjoy our life and rejoice in it. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and your head lack no oil. And so enjoy the things that you have in life, and don't complain and murmur about what you don't have. Be thankful what you have and enjoy those things. Verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. So it tells us here, live joyfully with the wife whom you love. And we read in Genesis that it was not good for man to be alone, and that God provided man with a wife. And yet we see so many couples that they're unhappy and that they don't get along. But God has made man and woman together, that they be happy together, and they're supposed to enjoy that partnership. And some of you might look at me and think, well, that's easy for you to say. But for those of you that are in that situation, you need to enjoy that. That is a gift of God. Enjoy your husband or your wife. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days in your vain life. Also, rejoice in the things God has given us. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, we are to enjoy the things that we have. To some degree, we know that materialism is wrong. However, we are still supposed to enjoy the things that God has given us. 1 Timothy 6:17, beginning, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so we see here that there's no condemnation for being rich. There's a lot of bitterness and, I think, envy towards people who are wealthy in this nation, and that there's some sort of crime about those that are wealthy and they have a lot of things. And perhaps it's because they can indulge in those things from time to time, and maybe they don't care about the poor as much as they should. But being rich in itself is not sinful or wrong. It tells us here that these people that are rich, it says, command them not to be haughty nor to trust in those things, because a lot of times when people have a lot, they tend to just trust in their finances, in their bank account, and they forget about God and not realize it's God that they should be trusting in. It says, but not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so there's nothing wrong with enjoying those things that God has given us. And so don't feel guilty about having nice things while you see other people that are poor. You can help those people that don't have as much, but we are commanded to enjoy those things that we have. He's given us all things to enjoy. And so enjoy in the things that God has given us. Of course, we are to rejoice responsibly, not just using these material things just for pleasure. That shouldn't be our life, is just one day of pleasure. In verse 18 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so these same rich people that he was writing about before, he says, well, they need to be willing to share. They need to be responsible with the things that they have. And of course, we should too. So we are to rejoice in the things which God has given us and rejoice responsibly. And so we're to rejoice in life, in the things that we have here on earth. But then we should also rejoice in the things that aren't temporal, and that is salvation. Rejoice in salvation. To rejoice knowing that you are saved, what a great thing for us to be thinking about and rejoicing in. I think, I can't speak for anyone in particular, but I think that's a general thought, is that we take for granted our salvation. Every day we should be thankful to God that when this life is over, it's heaven. Heaven is ours forever. Luke 10:20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What an awesome thought to think that me, a nobody, or I won't say you are a nobody, but if you're sitting there, you might think, well, you're not anybody special, but that your name is written in heaven. You might think of if your name is ever written in a book, or you're credited in a movie, or any type of thing where your name is noticed, that might mean something to you. But how wonderful it is to think that your name is written in heaven. I remember I haven't seen these commercials lately, but I remember that it was popular for a time of the, I believe it was the National Star Registry, where you could buy, buy a star, and then you could name it after someone, and that was a gift that you would give to someone. And you could think, well, this star is named after me. But even greater is the thought that your name is written in heaven. What a wonderful thing, and be thankful for that and rejoice in that. So rejoice in salvation. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so as we're members of the kingdom, that's a joyful thing. To rejoice is fruit of the Spirit. That is the results of being a Christian. And having evidence that the Spirit is in you is because of that joy is evidence of that you are living in the Spirit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. If you're a Christian, these things need to be evident in your life, not just something that you can say, yes, I'm happy, I have joy. It needs to be evident in your life. We should be able to see these things. Should be able to see that you're a loving person, you're kind, you're long-suffering, you have goodness, you're faithful, and also that there is joy in your life. That should be evident. So it is clearly the will of God that you rejoice always. And so are you fulfilling the will of God by having joy in your life, by rejoicing always? Now let's consider why you need to rejoice. Well, for physical and emotional strength. Of course, that's one reason. Another reason would be, well, because God said so. We hear parents often give that reason a lot of times, where you say, well, why should I do this? Well, because I said so. Well, God said for us to rejoice, so that should be one reason. God said so. But also for physical and emotional strength. Proverbs chapter 12, 25, we read that anxiety weighs one down. And I think even though it's written here, we can also just see that from common sense and wisdom in our lives, that when you have anxiety and worries, it just weighs you down and it robs you of joy in life. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, it says here. And so we can let things get to us and weigh us down. And so it gives us physical and emotional strength when we have joy, that we're just not worn down and just feeling, it's just not a good feeling. And joy, as we see here, we're commanded to have joy. It is a choice that we make. Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13, beginning. Proverbs 15, 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And so we see a glad heart raises the spirit. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 tells us, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." We know that a lot of people take medicines for different problems, and a lot of those problems are because of anxiety. You know, anxiety causes a lot of health problems. And what do we end up doing? Well, we end up taking medicine to resolve those problems. But it tells us here that having joy is like medicine. And so we can see how anxiety can affect our health. But if we have joy, it'll give us physical and emotional strength. A joyful heart is like good medicine. Well, we also need to rejoice always for spiritual strength, not just physical and emotional, but spiritual. Because in the joy of the Lord, there is great strength. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. "Then he said to them, go your way, eat and drink. Drink the sweet and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And so there's much strength in having a joyful heart and a joyful countenance. And when we have joy in what we believe, we abound in hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And so it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And so when we have joy, we abound in hope. And when we are joyful, it helps those around us be joyful as well. Of course, I think we've all noticed that there are some people, when they walk into a room, that they say, well, their smile lights up the room, or just their presence lights up the room. And of course, there's the opposite effect as well. When there's someone that has a very negative attitude and they're unhappy, it kind of can bring everyone else down too, can it? And so we recognize that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3, "And I wrote this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all." And so the Apostle Paul had joy because they were happy, and so it made him happy. And so our attitude and our countenance has an effect on others. And I know that there are different people that they will, even if they're feeling down, they'll try to at least express having some sort of joy, or they'll try to smile just so that it won't bring others down. And sometimes when I'm down, I know that I can't fake it, so I just withdraw from everyone. But that's not always the right attitude. We should try to have a positive attitude, and that'll have a good influence and effect on others. And so your attitude, your joy, will help others around you be joyful. And so our Creator understands the importance of a joyful spirit for both body and soul. And since He wants you to rejoice always, here are a few thoughts on how you can rejoice always. It's one thing just to say, well, you need to be happy. Well, how can you rejoice always? In the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. It isn't just, well, the Bible says to be happy. Well, it's getting close to God and having a relationship with Him that allows one to have the right attitude and to be happy. I can say that to some degree, it's my personality to have a little bit of depression and be down from time to time. But when I obeyed the gospel, you know, a lot of that disappeared. And that isn't to say that, well, once you obey the gospel, you're happy all the time. And that's not the case. But overall, my countenance has certainly been lifted, and I think I'm a much happier and have just so much more joy in my life because I'm a Christian. So you can rejoice always in the Lord. So become a Christian. It is in the Lord that one finds the ability to rejoice always. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And so it isn't just saying, well, you need to be happy, but rejoice in the Lord by having a closeness with Him and realizing that He's your Creator. As you look about you, and even today, even though it's cold, we can see God's handiwork, and it's a beautiful day. And we can think of how God has made this for us, and it should give us joy. His salvation is the source of much joy. Think about that. Psalm chapter 21, verse 1. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. And so perhaps you're not thinking about your salvation as much as you ought, and thinking about spiritual things and how this life here on earth is very short. Just think of just how small 100 years is compared to 1,000, or compared to 1,000,000, or compared to eternity. We're here for a very short period of time, and then eternal bliss. Yes, God's salvation should give us much joy. Take time to meditate upon his word and think about the salvation that you have. He grants joy to those who please him, so that we can find joy in God by serving him. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and in verse 26. For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. And so when you serve God, one of the gifts that he gives you is joy. And I believe part of that has to do with your conscience and having peace of mind, knowing that you're doing the will of God. And that should give you joy. But if you know that you're committing sin and that God is not pleased with your life, that's a difficult thing to live with, and you're not going to have much joy. So serve God, and he will grant you joy. He grants joy to those who please him. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 20. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Please God, and he will give you joy. His mercy is a source of great joy. Psalm chapter 31, verse 7. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities. And so God being merciful to us, that should be a source of great joy. When I think of mercy, I associate that with forgiveness as well. When someone is merciful with someone else, he has been forgiving to that person. And that is just a feeling of great joy when someone forgives you. Perhaps you've done something to someone and you know that you've really wronged someone. And then you think, I just know I have to face this person. And it's going to be a very difficult thing because this person, they're just going to be very upset with me. And then you go to that person and you say, you know, I really messed up. I'm really sorry about what I said, that thing that I did. And they look at you and they say, oh, I didn't even think about that. That was no big deal. That's just such a relief. It's just such a good feeling that they have forgiven you, that they didn't have this grudge against you. And just think of how more so God, the sins that we have committed against him. We know we've committed sins in our lives, and of course we never stop. We never get to a point that we just never commit any more sins. And yet God is merciful and he always forgives us. And so we should think about how people are oftentimes very unforgiving, but God is merciful. That should give you much joy as well. So his mercy is a source of great joy. In his presence there is fullness of joy, and he will abide with us if we obey his commands. Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. Again, that closeness with God, it gives you joy, and he grants you that joy by pleasing him. And so obeying God will give you joy. Some important suggestions. Read and feed upon the word of God daily. Of course, we're reminded of God's mercy and his goodness and how we are to serve him by the things that he has written for us in his book, the Bible. And so the more you separate yourself from the Bible and you don't study, the further away from God you're going to be, and the less joy that you're going to have in your life. Remember, we are to rejoice in the Lord. And so just partaking in pleasures is not what God wants. He wants you to rejoice in the Lord by being close to him. So read and feed upon the word of God daily. Psalm chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. We read of the way of the righteous. Blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the unscornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And so we should be delighting in the law of the Lord, which is contained in the scriptures. And it says, and upon that law he meditates day and night. How often do you think about the things that you have written? After you've studied, you think about what you have studied and the goodness of God. Meditate upon the word of God daily. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And so Jeremiah found joy by the words of God. So meditate upon the teachings of Christ and his apostles. Jesus spoke that his disciples' joy might be full. John chapter 15, verse 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And so take the words of Christ and meditate upon them. They're a source of great joy. Certainly, we should also sing when we're cheerful. And many of the songs that we sang this morning are songs of gladness, songs of hope. They remind us to be cheerful. James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. And so when one is already happy, he sings. And we know that a lot of times when people, we hear people whistling or singing, we automatically know they're in a good mood. And so sometimes singing is a result of being in a good mood, but sometimes singing can make us happy and can put us in a good mood. Maybe it's even secular music. We hear a song on the radio and it might lift our spirits. But even more so, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs can be uplifting. So we can find joy by singing praises. Psalm chapter 71 and verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. And so by singing, it can make us happy even when we're feeling down. Psalm 104, 33 and 34, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. And so these two thoughts of being glad in the Lord is connected with singing praises to God. Psalm 135 and verse 3, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. And so there is joy in singing. And so if you're feeling down, perhaps that might be something that might seem like something that you don't want to do, that you want to be withdrawn, but I would encourage you to sing. And so we can also find joy in singing praises to God. Another suggestion is spend time with brethren who make us happy. We know that our brethren can have either a negative or a positive effect on us, but if you're having difficulty with having joy in your life, if you're having joylessness, surround yourself with brethren that will lift you up. 2 Corinthians 7:13. Therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoiced exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. And so Titus had much joy because of the Christians that were there in Corinth. And so we see how positive people that are positive can have an effect on us. And so spend times with brethren that can make us happy, and we can find joy in them. We also read about Philemon's love and joy refreshed the hearts of others and gave Paul joy in Philemon chapter 1, verse 7. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And so Philemon had a positive effect on others. And so if you're having difficulty having joy in your life, surround yourself with people that would give you joy. And finally, lead others to Christ. for they will be a great source of joy, as the Thessalonians were to Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. And so these Christians, these people that had obeyed the gospel, that they were a great source of joy to Paul because he had a hand in converting them. And so the Thessalonians were to Paul. Philemon was to Paul, was a source of joy to Paul as well, as we read in Philemon 1 and verse 7. And John's converts made him joyful as well. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And he wasn't talking about his physical children. He was talking about those people that he had converted to Christ. And so when he heard that they had been faithful to God, that gave him a source, that they were a source of joy to him. And so lead others to Christ, and they will be a source of joy to you as well. And so what is the will of God for you? Well, there are a lot of things, but it is to rejoice always. And that is actually a command that we read about in the Scriptures. We are commanded to have joy. Have you ever really thought about that? That God has commanded us to have joy. Are you fulfilling that command? Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the blessings he has given you. Rejoice in both physical and spiritual blessings of life. And this does not mean that you will never suffer hardship, but it is in the service of God that there can be great joy. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So even those that are persecuted can have joy. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and they say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And of course, the prophets are able to rejoice because of the eternal bliss that they enjoy. And there can be inexpressible joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, talking about persecutions, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, rejoicing the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So even in persecution and hardship, we can find joy. So even if the hardships we experience are due to the wickedness and evil of others, and just some of the difficulties that we face in life, different hardships, we can rejoice that we serve God who offers comfort and hope for every trial. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, but the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so let us be diligent to do the will of God and rejoice always. If you are here this morning and you haven't obeyed the gospel, God's will for you is that you would obey the gospel and that you would be close to him and you would seek a relationship with him. And he wants you to be close to him. He wants you to have salvation. He wants you to be saved. And he wants you to have joy in life. And it would be difficult for me to believe that a person could ever have true peace of mind if their heart and their life is not right with God. And so lay aside every weight, as we read in the Scriptures that we are to do. Anything that's holding you back, lay aside that weight and come to God, and he will give you salvation, and he will give you joy. Jesus says Jesus said, he who believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He who believeth not will be condemned. When it talks about condemnation, it's talking about eternal punishment, the lake of fire, where it says the worm dieth not, and there's no ease of that punishment. And so why would you turn down eternal bliss and joy for eternal punishment and death? It just doesn't make sense. Meditate upon the Word of God and think about the great things that He has done for you and obey Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, we encourage you to do that. If you're also here this morning and you haven't been fulfilling the will of God by having joy in your life, hopefully you can find that joy. And again, life isn't always going to be fair or perfect, but we can always find reason to rejoice. We'll be singing number 422 now, The Joyful Sound That Jesus Saves. Come forward now as we stand and sing this song.